Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Roll into
CBS News Brief. Some fentanyl-laced letters have arrived at elections offices in at least five states just days after crucial elections. Gabriel Sterling's a spokesman for Georgia's Secretary of State.
In sort of a bizarre way, it's almost good as happening in 2023 as we prepare for 2024. Can't think of every single threat, so this now raises it on our radar to something we can train for and plan for. But it's also another stressor for elections officials that are under a tremendous pressure already.
Palestinians are finally getting help in Gaza. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The White House National Security Council spokesman says Israel has agreed to daily four-hour pauses to allow people to move out of Gaza and to allow food and medicine in.
West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin says he will not run for re-election in 2024.
We need to take back America and not let this divisive hatred further pull us apart.
The Democrat made the announcement on X. He says he plans to tour the country to help unite Middle America. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans in the Wisconsin Assembly are trying again to create a sweeping tax cut that's similar to the one Governor Evers vetoed out of the state budget in July. It would cut $2 billion in taxes by dropping the state income tax rate to 4.4% for people who make as much as $405,000 a year. Evers has said it benefits too many people at the top and not enough in the middle. Assembly Republican Majority Leader Tyler August sounds open to changes the state Senate has made to the American Family Field Maintenance Bill.
I see no reason why we wouldn't have the votes to be able to concur on that amendment almost immediately and put this issue to bed once and for all.
The amendment increases money from the Milwaukee Brewers and lowers the contribution from state taxpayers. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A soldier from Greenfield has been discharged from the Army and is facing stalking charges following the report of disturbing text messages. Prosecutors say Stuart Rakowski's father went to police with the messages. Rakowski, a recent graduate of Whitnall High School, is accused of engaging in unsettling behavior towards a fellow female student. The parents went to authorities after they allegedly found messages that showed their son was aiming to cause harm to the young girl. Fencing has been installed along the two-mile-long Hone Bridge in Milwaukee. The DOT says it's to improve safety and address concerns of debris falling from the bridge. However, the bridge, which has been known as a place for people to jump from, will likely be less attractive with the fences acting as a deterrent. The initiative came after a petition drive led by someone who lost a friend in a Hone Bridge suicide. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering healthcare to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks get the win, but Giannis ejected. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Detroit Pistons 120-118. In the third quarter, Giannis brought the ball down, made a signature dunk, and celebration. He gets called for a technical, his second of the game, and was ejected. The Bucks' Brook Lopez asked what was going on.
You know, we felt there were a lot of questionable calls, but you got to fight through that. And the way Giannis got kicked out, we obviously don't think that was great. But whatever, we turned it into a positive. Sucked not to have him out there, but it was a great opportunity for us to play pretty much solely with Dame, get him more used to us, get more used to him and a lot of other guys.
Football, a lot of teams in the NFL now doing the tush push, lining up players to push a teammate across fourth and short for a quarterback sneak. Green Bay tried it over the weekend against the Rams and was asked, was it called the Packers push? Right guard John Runyon.
I've also heard the love shove too.
That's the Packers right guard John Runyon with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 30 tonight. Under clear skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. 41 tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 27. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday happier happy hour. I'm happy already, Dom. Here's
why. Why?
This shirt was to be my travel back from Miami shirt, this Magnum style floral print Hawaiian shirt I'm sporting today. I was supposed to be coming back from the Republican presidential debate in Miami. I bought this shirt. This is one of Crudy's Miami shirts. And the former president had his own little rally at Hialeah talking about Trump. And one interesting note I pointed out, I listened to the Clay and the Buck the last 2 days, yesterday to hear what Trump had to say, apparently more interested in golf than the testimony of his beloved daughter Ivanka. But he made a claim, Trump did. He's going to have 35, 40,000 people at Hialeah, way bigger than the GOP debate, you know, whatever they're doing at that other place. So I looked up the football stadium. They were holding this event at in Hialeah. Capacity, 5,200.
5,200? Not 52,000?
Like large high school football stadium, maybe.
Sure, yeah.
And then they did have, like, chairs, like folding chairs, put on the field. So there was... Sure. More than just the seated people.
Sure.
Couldn't have been more than 10,000.
So not 30, 40, 50,000.
Not as he would claim. Now, I've seen some big Trump crowds. Not in Hialeah last night. I was not there, but I've seen the photos from the Newsweek. That's my source. No more than 10,000. Not even 7, 8,000, I'd guess. His crowds are not as big as they used to be. Not as what, Dom? They still show up and they camp out for like a day ahead of time. You know, the front row Joes, they come and show up like a day early. Like they're deadheading, like they're going to a Jimmy Buffett concert. Yeah. But a disappointing number if the prediction's 35 to 40,000,
are you suggesting, Michael, that the shine is wearing off the former president? Is that possible?
Well, I did also see new polling out of the state of Florida, where the former president now claims he makes his residence because New York's turned on him, damn, the whole fraud trial and all. He moved down to Mar-a-Lago full time, but there's another presidential candidate from that great state who participated in the Trumpless GOP debate last night in Miami. Well, joke. Governor Ron DeSantis is polling at 21% support in Florida, and Trump's at 60. DeSantis is trailing Trump by 39 points in his home state where he's the governor. Even the wanker would have polled better relative to Trump in the state of Wisconsin, I think. Of course, he was dropped out by September. Never would have made it to a not November conversation on the radio.
Now. It's Trump's party, man. I mean, you can't possibly be surprised, right? I mean, this is Trump's party. This is the, all the Republicans that were there, the grand old party, you know, the, anyone with any half of a conscience, they left, and they were very vocal on the way out the door. But this is, you know, what's left is the main line, you know, the concentrated, the white sugar that is MAGA. And Florida's got a lot of them. And he only pulled 7 or 8, maybe 9,000. I mean, that's not huge.
No, it is not huge. Now, as you well know, Dom, because we were partying together, we were watching the Bucks game in a bar. We were not watching the GOP debate in real time. And I have read a few of the articles post. And my understanding amongst Democrats being polled actually by Fox News in real time, you know, you turn the little meter, focus groupie style. The highest performer amongst Democrats watching the Republican debate last night, Chris Christie. Many points got an A. Like, he was almost reasonable or sane relative to the field, understand. But I shared the assessment of Nikki Haley about the entire field, including the one that wasn't there last night, the former president in Hialeah. Here is what Nikki had to say at the debate last night. I concur.
You're just
the easy answer.
So I think
you're just scum.
It's probably time to move on. What do you think, Tom? I think that pretty much puts a bow on it, don't you?
That was it. Yes, the Republican primary debate. You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
You're just scum. If there was a winner overall, my understanding, Washington Post said it was Nikki Haley. So she got
polling said Nikki Haley, yeah.
She got the one quote, "You're scum." Actually, she said that at Vivek Ramaswamy. He's sort of the AI guy. And I believe in the prior debate, she said, "You know, I get a little dumber every time you speak." And at this debate, he came after both her outfit and her daughter. And the daughter apparently on the TikTok and you know, Vivek Ramaswamy thinks that's a bad thing. And she didn't appreciate being chastised for either her parenting or having her daughter publicly chastised. And she called him scum. You're scum.
She didn't pull a Will Smith and go over and slap him across the face.
Well, that would have made for more interest. You know, that would have been better than the reason why Giannis got thrown out of the game last night. 844-967-2789. So I think very little to interest me, at least, in the GOP debate last night. But what I found interesting today, Joe Manchin, he's out. He is not running for re-election. And I saw on social media some people saying, "Oh, this is, I'm so excited, you know, yippity doodah." And I said, no, I think you're missing the point. A, as much as I don't like Joe Manchin, and as much as I thought he was an intransigent, nearly Republican member that would block many of the priorities of Joe Biden, him and Sinema, right? The now independent senator from Arizona and Joe Manchin from West Virginia. They voted to keep the filibuster, to basically keep the old school rules that Republicans were using against this Democrat Congress. But Joe Manchin leaves, and that is a Republican seat. So that's one loss on the map. Democrats lose one. And the other flip side of that equation, Dom, I believe Joe Manchin intends to run for president. He's going to be the third way candidate. There's money in it for him. And he thinks he's like this straight, narrow, down the middle kind of guy, and somehow he's serving all parties. Well, I think he's pretty self-serving, but I think he's going to run. And I don't think he's going to be the only one. And Dom, this is not the time for a third-party candidacy. I mean, I can understand why the appeal would be to Republicans. If Donald Trump was my front runner winning by 40 in Florida, if he was the presumptive nominee, and as pointed out, Chris Christie did the same math I like to do, the day before Super Tuesday is the Jack Smith trial in D.C. The insurrection trial starts the day before Super Tuesday. And Christie said it's probably going to be Mark Meadows there. It's not going to be some Democrat operative. It's not going to be some witness from the Hillary clamp. It's going to be his former chief of staff who's already gotten the immunity deal. He will probably be the prosecution's lead witness against Trump. But here's my math. They got jury selection. They got a couple of steps before they will actually make the presentation. And by Tuesday, the day while people are at the voting booth, 22 states will have decided by Super Tuesday, Republican caucus states or Republican primary states. I think Trump's going to be your nominee before the jury can come back and convict him, perhaps 2 weeks later.
2 weeks?
Well, I don't know how much trial they got planned. It might be 2 months, yeah. But he will already be their nominee before the conclusion of the federal trial. So, you know,
and Chris Christie said on the stage yesterday at the GOP presidential debate that he's taking it all the way to the convention, baby. And that's right here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I got that to look forward to. I was talking about the convention today, Dom. Now, here's my plan. RNC, we go to a bar. DNC, we go to the venue. DNC will be in Chicago this upcoming summer as well. I got
a bar outside the green zone.
Just outside the green zone.
Exactly.
We've done this before. We know how to go into enemy territory, how to tread loudly and make waves. Yes. I'm looking forward to it, Dom. I can't wait. I can't wait.
You know, they're strange times, man. You know, I don't know, like the megas, you know, if this is a contested thing and Trump's, you know, indicted, maybe by then he's convicted and he's coming to fight and he's going to bring his crew. And now you got what, Bikers for Trump and the Megas and the Proud Boys and the Three Percenters and, you know, fill in the white national Trump or Mega blank line here. They're all going to be coming here to what, support Trump? I'm not looking forward to that.
Okay, look for the
just saying, man.
The dark cloud and the silver lining that we get the front row, the history in the making, in the happening in our backyard, man. We'll get to broadcast it live. We'll be in the room, Dom.
You realize who's coming to support Trump, right? The Trumpsters, right? The ones that aren't real fond of democracy.
I always assumed it would be primarily the Trump supportive that supported Trump. Yes, that is a conclusion I had also arrived at.
And you think that's a great opportunity for those that don't believe in democracy to, you know, descend upon the socialist of Milwaukee? That's going to be interesting.
I think you mischaracterized the entire event. A, it's going to be so much fun. B, we'll be there each and every day at a bar nearby, you know, outside the green zone, because if there's trouble, it might be inside the green zone. So let's be outside the green zone. And finally, Dom, if the Republican nominee is, let's say, sitting in jail or prison by then, or out on bail waiting appeal, and he's your nominee. Now, even the New York Times polling, everyone's bemoaning, said if he's convicted, his support will plummet, but he's already your nominee. Suck it, Republicans.
You will never find a more wretched hive.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Discover the secret to a healthier you at Lake County Botanics. Vape Walkie specializes in top quality hemp products from CBD to Delta 8, all curated just for you. You'll find Delta 8, Delta 10, THCA, and more legal hemp compounds in disposable vapes, cartridges, edibles, and more. Isolates, broad spectrum, or full spectrum CBD, they've got it all. They even have products for your furry friend. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 to 7, and Sundays from 11 to 5. Mention this ad to get a free gummy at 215 Oakton Avenue, Suite C in Pewaukee. LakeCountyBotanics.com.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. from clipping your horse for competition season to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates. The fix for political junkies everywhere.
Back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines this fair Thursday at 844-967-2789.
Dom, I've been checking the text lines. Even a pronunciation guide. Psilocybin. Psilocybin, according to the texter from the 920. Here's another one. A revamped Wisconsin flag would need at minimum a quarter dedicated to justice with a caricature cued in the line trio of Ron Johnson, Michael Gableman, and Scott Walker, all leg iron shackled in orange prison jumpsuits. What else we got? Good riddance, Joe Manchin. Even if we lose the seat to the GOP, at least we know which way they'll vote. Instead of having to deal with his and Sinema's BS, says Andrew from Verona. Matt from Germantown says, no third party. I wouldn't mind more parties in our system, but we can't split votes. Well, Dom, that's where the bad news starts coming in. Because Jill Stein, the former Green Party candidate, right? Yes. She declared her candidacy.
Green Party again.
We know that Robert Kennedy Jr., is a candidate. He's moved out of the Democratic Party. Apparently, he's making an independent third-party run. Now, you had mentioned Cornell West. I'm less clear of Cornell West.
Yeah, he was actually, I think, going for the Green Party, but then he backed out. Now he's running as an independent.
Also in the race. Great. And then I suspect Joe Manchin is going to be the third-way candidate. They've already been spending money sort of laying the groundwork for this moderate question mark, this sort of split the infinitive guy to come in and be the way forward. Dom, I'm seeing a lot of Ross Perot's. I mean, I understand that these two candidates, the presumptives, Joe Biden, no one's going to beat him. It's not going to be Marianne Williamson. So no one's going to beat him. He's going to be the presumptive nominee of the Democrats, barring some sort of major health something. And the same for Donald Trump, barring actual imprisonment or jail. I think he will be the nominee of the Republican Party, Dom. So those aren't very appealing candidates to many of us.
Well, let me ask you, though. I mean, if Chris Christie and the Republicans, they decide they're going to bring it to the convention, and if Donald Trump, you know, gets convicted on the in the J6 trial specifically.
It's a private club. They can play it however they want to.
Well, this is the whole point, right? And that's the deal. And Christie's already saying that, projecting that. I would concur. Yeah, Trump's going to be convicted. And if he's still at the top of the ticket coming into Milwaukee, that's going to be a problem for the Republicans. He may be the top of the ticket coming in, but I don't know if he'll be there coming out.
Well, that's especially what Paul Manafort's for. I mean, he was worried about losing the nomination in Cleveland. They were still trying to figure out a way to get rid of him. Remember, I wore the dump Trump t-shirt down in Cleveland. Republicans were cockeyed grinning at me at their own freaking convention. And I'm wearing a dump Trump and he's the nominee t-shirt at his nomination speech. I believe, Dom, under, you know, maybe a sport coat.
Well, the American classing dream it up and all. Dead. Well, that's the thing though, man. So he's leading and you know, the timing is what it is. You actually think even if he comes into Milwaukee that he's going to come out with a nomination with a conviction? I mean, the polling from New York Times,
if he is one of the prescribed delegates,
Republicans, they're saying that.
Well, what's Chris Christie supposed to say? He's polling at 3%. He's barely on the stage at the undercard debate. He's only appealing to Democrats being forced to watch the debate like Clockwork Orange style with their eyes pried open, right? And then he might appeal to others who are probably still going to vote for the Democratic nominee no matter what. So my question becomes, what's he got to lose by saying that? Talking about Chris Christie. Now, I don't disagree with the sentiment. He's a former federal prosecutor. Obviously, he's got an axe to grind. Whether it's the fact that Trump gave him COVID, whether it's the fact he was looked over, whether it's the fact he was dumped, I mean, unceremoniously, he was either supposed to be the vice president or the secretary of state. And Jared Kushner apparently didn't like the fact he had prosecuted and imprisoned Jared's daddy. So Kushner, if the reporting is to be believed, pushed Chris Christie out. And apparently Chris Christie was also forced to eat the mom's meatloaf down at the Mar-a-Lago. And Trump got two scoops and Christie only got one. You know, that set of the ice man cream. Off.
Oh, man. Christie looks like him. Come on. He loves the ice cream. I mean, hell, even Joe got two scoops of ice cream.
Can you imagine a guy like Chris Christie being forced to eat whatever Trump tells him to eat?
You got to eat the meatloaf.
I don't understand that kind of behavior whatsoever, ever, ever, ever. No, I do not get that mindset. No, my answer is no. Crudy, you're not going to make me eat something. No one's going to make me eat something I don't want to eat. I don't get that mindset. Who has that mindset? Are you kidding me? And you're supposed to be what? What, you want to run for something? And that's what you do? You kowtow to a guy like Trump? Are you? I don't have that mindset. No.
They all bowed and kissed the ring. I mean, even remember when Donald Trump ran down Scott Walker from the debate stage? He came to my office looking for money. They all did. Because they all did. They all came groveling to the man when he was supposedly the rich man, you know, maybe could throw him a few chump change dollars. But now, what's Christie supposed to say? So playing out your hypothetical here, Dom, they want him out. But what if he's got all the delegates? And then who are you forcing him out for? I mean, if you want to galvanize Republicans, I'm just saying, if you want the man out, now's the time. If you wait till the convention, it ain't going to work. It is not going to work. Not without putting your entire campaign in chaos.
Well, of course it's good. Yes, that is the result for, you know, getting in the sandbox with people like Donald Trump. It is chaos. I mean, more chaos. And that is the constant. If there's anything consistent about the MAGAs and Trump, it is the chaos that they bring everywhere they go, everything they touch. That is guaranteed.
Okay, third parties. We saw this in the state of Wisconsin. Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump, I believe, 31,000 votes, if I recall, in 2016, something like that. Jill Stein had, what, 36,000 votes? Gary Johnson had like 150,000 votes. There were a lot of votes that were bled away from the two top tickets. And Hillary was not a very popular nominee. I know there are many, many friends of mine that still love Hillary Clinton. I don't count myself amongst them. She was not a popular nominee. I don't think in his current state, at least if you believe the polling, I don't think that Joe Biden's a very popular nominee. I think the entire strength of the Joe Biden candidacy is he's the guy that he thinks can beat Donald Trump. That's his prior claim. That's his prior claim to fame and good governance. I think he's put some bipartisan stuff together, but he's also going to get tagged with a recession or whatever comes down the pike. It's all going to be his fault, right?
Yeah, or the socialist. Real quick, Crudy, from CNN back in November of 2016, Trump stood 27,000 plus votes ahead of Clinton with 95% of the vote in Wednesday evening. The total support for Johnson and Stein, again, the third party candidates, was 137,422 votes. So 110,000 votes between the two third party candidates in 2016.
Those aren't final vote tallies. We went through a recount. Jill Stein paid like $3.5 million to make sure that vote total was accurate, if I recall. More devil's advocates, you can always be a part. I'd like to know. Third party. What happens? What happens if we throw a Joe Manchin, a Robert Kennedy Jr., hell, Marianne Williamson, Jill Stein, and maybe Dom's boy Gary Johnson in the mix? 844-96-PARTY.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People in Wisconsin are returning unused prescription drugs more than any other state in the country. At least that's the result of this fall's nationwide Drug Take Back Day. The Department of Justice says Wisconsin collected more than 53,000 pounds of old medicines. Drug Take Back Day happens twice a year, but people can leave their unwanted prescriptions at nearly 500 drop boxes in Wisconsin year-round. Senator Tammy Baldwin is trying to help more military veterans get the benefits they've earned. The Commitment to Veteran Support and Outreach Act would provide $50 million more each year for 5 years to hire county veteran service officers. Those are the people who work directly with veterans to let them know about their eligibility for Veterans Affairs programs. Baldwin says she hopes it passes by Veterans Day. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The estimate on the number of UW-Milwaukee students was off by about 200. The state says the Milwaukee campus currently has 22,703 enrollees. It is a slight decrease from last year. However, overall in the UW system, enrollment grew by just over 1% this fall, adding just over 1,700 students. That's the first increase since 2014. If you know someone in the area that has a brand new guitar and drives a black pickup truck with dealer plates, you might want to check the Brookfield Police social media pages. They've posted an image of the man accused of walking out of Cream City Music yesterday with a $3,500 Taylor acoustic. The guitar is natural blonde and dark brown. Police say it happened at the store on Blue Mound yesterday at just before 1 in the afternoon. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to 4. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks get the win, but Giannis ejected. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Detroit Pistons 120-118. In the third quarter, Giannis brought the ball down, made a signature dunk, and celebration. He gets called for a technical, his second of the game, and was ejected. The Bucks' Brooke Lopez asked what was going on.
You know, we felt there were a lot of questionable calls, but you got to fight through that. And the way Giannis got kicked out, we obviously don't think that was great. But whatever, we turned it into a positive. Sucked not to have him out there, but it was a great opportunity for us to play pretty much solely with Dame, get him more used to us, get more used to him and a lot of other guys.
Football, a lot of teams in the NFL now doing the tush push, lining up players to push a teammate across fourth and short for a quarterback sneak. Green Bay tried it over the weekend against the Rams and was asked, was it called the Packers push? Right guard John Runyon.
I've also heard the love shove too.
That's the Packers right guard John Runyon with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 30 tonight under clear skies. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. 41 tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 27. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thursday's happy hour. Not real happy about the third-party candidacies Joe Manchin, I've got an article here from the Vox Dom. I'd like to get to it in just a moment. I also have been reading forward on the text line. Here's a couple of thoughtful text on the super duper Civic Media app text line to the devil's advocates. Andrew says progressives, talking about 2016, progressives thought Hillary was a shoo-in. So they thought they could have it both ways. Have the dim win and act all high and mighty by voting for Jill Stein. I don't disagree with that assessment. I think there were a lot of people that were torn because they told us, oh, it's 100%. It's an ironclad lock. Hillary didn't even come back to the state of Wisconsin after she won the primary. We know she was here during the primary a couple of times. One more from Andrew. Pardon me. Now that we have at least one third-party candidate, isn't it better that more join in? I'm not sure, sir. The smaller the fan base, the easier voters start to realize they're throwing away their votes. Did you throw away your vote? Did you vote for Gary Johnson? I know you emceed the Libertarian Party event in the state of Wisconsin. I know I was there for comic relief with you. And a split.
Yes, I was the MC for the Libertarian Party of Wisconsin's annual convention in 2016. I introduced Gary Johnson, and I did vote for Gary Johnson in 2016. Again, Gary Johnson, now I found a different source here, Curdy. My numbers are being matched up in two spots. Gary Johnson, according to Politico.com, and their results earned 106,442 votes in 2016. Jill Stein earned 30,980 votes. So those combined, again, about 137,000 votes for a third party in the state of Wisconsin. Obviously, Hillary lost by what? Less than 30?
She did. And in fact, the Jill Stein margin of voter tally here in the state of Wisconsin was greater than the margin of Hillary's loss.
And Gary Johnson was 3-4 times that. I mean, 106,000 votes went for the Libertarians. I mean, Libertarians.
But I always assumed
in 2016.
Yeah, I always assumed the votes for Gary Johnson were more likely to be, you know, Republican leaning independents or those that just found Trump to be intolerable as the top of the ticket candidate. I just always felt like the Gary Johnsons were the disaffected Republicans voting for Gary and some Libertarians. It wasn't that big a room, man. I was there with you. There weren't 106,000 people there that day. And
no,
I think it was far more likely. And I know some of my friends here in Dane County that were guilty of voting third party for Jill Stein. Now, that was one of the most agonizing votes I ever had to make. And I nearly didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, but I did choose to cast the ballot for Hillary. And I had strongly considered voting for the third party candidate. Because effectively, Hillary surrogates came on the show and told us, it doesn't matter. We got it wrapped up. Doesn't matter. We've got it wrapped
guarantee.
Up. Ironclad, 100% guarantee Hillary wins. 844-967-2789. That's not exactly how it turned out, Tom. Now, Joe Manchin. I don't think this is necessarily good news. Joe Manchin's retirement from the U.S. Senate means Dems are going to drop a seat. Now, I looked it up. There are, I believe, 33 U.S. senators that will be on the ballot. They're on, like, rotating 6 years, right?
34 seats is what I see from Cook Political Report.
A third of the Senate, is up each ballot, all House members on the ballot every 2 years. The Dems are defending 24 seats. Including the former Joe Manchin seat, the former Kristen Sinema seat, and of course our own Tammy Baldwin. She's also on the ballot. But her winning election doesn't move the column. Joe Manchin turning that seat over effectively, because he's the only guy that had the resume to propel him. He had been the former governor of the state of West Virginia. This had turned into a very bright red state. A little bit from the Vox. Senator Joe Manchin will not run for re-election, a decision that likely means Democrats will lose a Senate seat in a narrowly divided chamber in 2024. the stubborn centrist, nice descriptor, represented one of the most Republican states in the country, one that Trump won by. How many do you think Trump won West Virginia by, Dom?
I see it, but it's hard to believe. 39 percentage points in 2020.
Trump won by 39, yet Manchin was able to defy West Virginia's partisan leanings via his long history in state politics. Again, he's the former governor there. Since then, the West Virginia Democratic Party has been decimated as the state's voters have increasingly voted with their national partisan loyalties. There's not so much ticket splitting. Once upon a time, Dom, I forget how many years ago it was, of the 100 U.S. senators, 30 of them came from districts not won by their president. Meaning, you know, they were selected. A Republican was selected in the same year a Democrat president was elected from the very same districts. That used to be a common thing, much less so. So Democrats currently have a 51-49 majority in the Senate. So losing Manchin's seat puts them back to 50-50. Still enough for control if President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris win re-election. The problem is that Democrats' 2024 Senate challenges go far beyond West Virginia. They face such a starkly unfavorable map that if things even go somewhat poorly for the party, they could fall into a deep Senate hole for years to come. Besides Manchin, two other Democratic senators represent states Donald Trump won in 2020, and they are also up for re-election in 2024. They are Senator John Tester, Democrat from Montana, and Sherrod Brown, Democrat from Ohio. I'm feeling better about his chances all the time. They're both running again, but these are all very red states, and winning them in a presidential year will be quite difficult for Democrats. And the vulnerabilities go deeper. The only remotely close states where presidential results, where Republicans are defending states, seats, in the Senate, Florida and Texas, two states where Democrats have had few victories in recent years. Meanwhile, Democrats are also defending in five states Joe Biden very nearly won. Those seats include the one held by Kyrsten Sinema. I'm not even sure if she's running for re-election. Tammy Baldwin, Wisconsin, Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, Jackie Rosen in Nevada, and Debbie Stabenow in Michigan. It's a tough map. That's, I guess, the only point I'm making. And I don't think Joe Manchin's doing anybody except Joe Manchin any favors. I think he's maybe looking to build support for some sort of ill-fated third-party presidential run.
Just a little bit more here. Then we'll get to the callers at 844-967-2789. Democrats might think they have nothing to worry about regarding this group of seats because, look, the party defied the naysayers in a tough year of 2022, winning at least one statewide contest in all these states mentioned. So clearly these states lean in their favor. But it's always a mistake to overread the results of the last election and to underestimate how much things could change before the next one. Particularly if Trump is not the nominee again, the party coalitions could be scrambled in unpredictable ways. And even Trump came quite close to winning those states mentioned, like Wisconsin, in 2020. There's a lot of unknowns, a lot of variables, a lot of things that can happen between now and then, and lots of things that will happen between now and then. Some known, some unknown. 844-96-PARTY, LA Tom, you're up. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately out of the government, and we must never forget that. You guys are making me sick to my stomach today, actually. I the idea that the Democrats do not win the White House should make people puke, because there's only one thing that matters, and that's the Supreme Court. If you have someone that's voting just like it was before, you know what? If Hillary Clinton would have won, we would have never had the issues that we have with the Supreme Court right now. I don't care how much you don't dislike her or how much she was not your candidate. I'll tell you one thing. If she would have been the candidate and she would have won, we would not be sitting with a turn.
No, but what the hell has that got to do with us, Tom?
Roe v. Wade.
Sure.
No. It just has to do with the fact that let's not get back into this whole thing with third parties. And I mean, first off, Joe Manchin.
But it's a very real. Hang on, Tom. This is a very real issue, man. I mean, we're talking about, you know,
we
see what happened in 2016. And I think, I don't know, and I tried to see, but I didn't see any results of third party in 2020. Certainly, I don't think the third party had as much impact.
No, people were scared straight. No one voted third party. They turned out 81 million turned out and voted for Joe Biden because they feared another Trump administration. And Tom, I think that inclination is just as strong 4 years later, although a little fuzzier. A few have forgotten how bad it is. But ultimately, Tom, Hillary Clinton lost that election.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not going to say that she didn't. I'm just saying that the facts are that everything should come down to Supreme Court.
But Tom, it's a 6-3 Supreme Court, man. Let's moving forward with the math, because now we're in 2024 and Hillary lost in 16. Now we're at a 6-3 Supreme Court. And I certainly don't want to see this go any farther to the South. But how are we going to change that if we don't even have a 50-51 seat margin in the Senate, man? How do you confirm Supreme Court justices? How did they keep Merrick Garland off the court? They had the votes. They had the majority.
The biggest issue, and we're seeing it again and again and again, is money in politics. That is the bottom line. And you know what? They're going to run Joe Manchin as a no-labels candidate. That's who's going to run Joe Manchin. And I'll tell you what, if people don't wake up and vote for someone like Joe Biden that has actually brought quite a bit of prosperity to the American people, instead of everyone always talking about doomsaying with them, my God, you wouldn't even have the unions becoming stronger if it wasn't for Joe Biden pushing and getting on the picket line and doing things. You guys know I was never a total fan of his. I was a Bernie supporter. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to throw my vote away and vote third party or go some other direction.
Sure, and I'm with you there on that, Tom, and I did then, and I won't now, but here's the reality. What I'm very curious about, we talk about 2016, Jill Stein and the Green. Well, she's running for the Greens again. Pulled 30,000 votes out of the state of Wisconsin, about the margin of Hillary's loss. So that's going to happen now. But we also have, you know, Donald Trump, a convicted. We don't go to the background. We know Donald Trump. A guy like Joe Manchin running, if he runs in third-party labels, I think would pull more voters from the Republican side, the conservative side, that cannot or will not vote for somebody like Donald Trump. Tom, where do you think Joe Manchin's appeal is going to come from, the right or the left?
No, I absolutely agree with you. I think it's going to come from the right. But I do think that they are going to try to repackage him, the billionaire class, into this no-labels guy, this centrist, you know, person. And, you know, they're going to repackage him is what they're going to do. And we just need to be awake, and we need to be doing what Ben Winkler said, which is out there knocking on doors, talking to people. And honestly, start looking at policies rather than looking at people's, you know, personalities or the age. Let's look at the actual policy of what is actually going on. And let's start voting on policy rather than on people. That's what I think anyway.
Tom, that's why you're a liberal Democrat, because you vote on policy. And not everyone feels that way. Not everyone acts that way. Policy? Are you kidding me? When's the last time that, if it was about policy, it'd be President Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren had the plan. She had the white paper. She had everything. You know, she was pushing in the last Democratic primary cycle. If it was about policy, we all should have gone on the Elizabeth Warren bandwagon, or maybe the Bernie bandwagon. I believe in a lot of what Bernie was out there extolling on the stump. You know, but the candidacy, the human being that was Joe Biden, was the right human being for the moment. The compassion, the empathy of Joe Biden is what our nation needed at that time. And he was certainly not Donald Trump. But third party? Come on, man. Don't act like I'm out here pulling the lever for Gary Johnson. That's somebody else. The happier happy hour is happiest when you call at 844-967-2789. Yeah.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. Field. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789. And make sure you stick around. I'll pal the Maggie Dawn Show coming up at 6 o'clock.
She is one powerful woman. I love Maggie Dawn. If Maggie Dawn says, Crudy, you're wrong, I believe her. If she ever says that, I would believe her. Dominic, a few on the text line. You're never wrong when you text the Devil's Advocates. Love getting your input. Here's one from the 608. I will always say Trump didn't win. Hillary lost. She was just a rich, entitled idiot that just phoned everything in and never even appeared in Wisconsin. So then she lost. After she won the primary, she was actually scheduled to come to Green Bay with Barack Obama, and I forget the Pulse nightclub shooting happened that week, and they never rescheduled. Hillary was at UW-Madison. We saw her there, a small event. That's where we met Dave Weigel from the Washington Post. And also, we covered her at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. It was supposed to be an outside event. They jammed it inside. She was here at least twice in 15, but you're right. She never came back after winning the primary. Hey, guys, it's Dan in the van. It's my opinion. Hillary's deplorables comment did more damage and turned people to Trump, I believe he's trying to tell me, than most of us realize. I remember having that conversation in real time.
Yeah.
And we threw it out there to our audience, and that was way back in the old Heartless Radio days. Three lines, and they were jammed for 2 hours, and I believe I extolled the audience, you know, not that any Trumpsters, anyone that would vote for Donald Trump would be listening to this fine radio show. But if you are, I think you're deplorable. And if you don't think I'm right, if you don't think Hillary's right, call us. And we had like 2 hours worth of Trump supportive people that told us they were going to vote for Donald Trump. Still liked our show. Surprisingly, I mean, it's damn entertaining, but I was surprised, but the sheer number of Trump supportive that called us and said, love the show, going to vote for Trump. Now, I don't recall getting any of those calls in 2020, Dom.
No.
I think people had, you know, tried that bad experiment and were coming back to sanity, at least those that had heard us extol God awful chaos under Trump. That presidency was so hard. One more texter, a 952 texter. With weed being legalized in more and more states and global warming talked about by the Democrats, how much party does the Green, how much power does the Green Party have? Probably a lot less appeal. They used to be kind of edgy out there. I mean, hell, even Joe Biden was not a legalized marijuana guy. But the Democrats have kind of come to our point of view on this. Some were always there, but a lot of them had to be dragged along kicking and screaming, right, Dom?
That'll happen. A little bit here from the Washington Post. Again, to our point, Jill Stein announced Thursday she's entering the 2024 presidential race as a Green Party candidate, reviving a role she played in 2016 that some Democrats say cost Hillary Clinton. the presidency. The political system is broken, Stein said in a video posted on social media announcing her bid for the nomination. The bipartisan establishment failed us, and we need a party that serves the people. Stein is the highest profile person now competing for the Green Party nomination following scholar and activist Cornel West's decision last month to continue his presidential bid as an independent. Stein helped run West's campaign before his decision, calling him the right person for America. Well, that's interesting. In 2016, Stein drew 1.4 million votes nationally as the Green Party nominee, a small fraction of those received by Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump. But Democrats accused Stein of being a spoiler in a number of battleground states where the race was close. She lost Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin to Trump by fewer votes than Stein received. Had Clinton won all three, she would have been president. And there be the lesson.
Dom, a texter on the WAUK 262 texter. Hillary was right about everything. And they, all caps, were deplorables. She and our country got screwed. And then here's one calling me to account for a specific statement I made, apparently, according to the texter, and I believe him. December 15th of 2020, Crudy said that Tucker Carlson would run for president in 2024.
Hey, they might need him yet. Right,
dude. In case of emergency, break glass and Tucker will answer.
An incorrect statement until it's an incorrect statement. Also seeing this online, parties, the Democratic Party, Republican Party, obviously the biggest parties here in the state of Wisconsin, but there is the Reform Party, the Libertarian Party, the Socialist Party, the Natural Law Constitution, and Green Parties. Those are the seven. And there's, you know, there's obviously hundreds of parties, but only a few actually get any traction. And that I would call the Libertarian Party and the Green Party.
What party now, what was Kanye running under? And I know they missed the ballot deadline for his signatures, but what party was the Kanye party?
I don't remember, man.
844-967-2789. I remember he was being supported by Republican operatives, but
yes, he was.
He wasn't a Republican, not on the ballot. I don't believe he appeared on the Wisconsin ballot at all. Jake from Eureka. Welcome, Jake. You might get the last word.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, guys. So I think Tucker Carlson is probably too busy tanning his testicles and fondling his green M&Ms to run for president these days.
It still bothers Dom that Tucker would get green M&Ms and he never got his from the state of Wisconsin in a court settlement. He is due to mason jars.
Hey, by the way, Jill Stein, that Green Party goofball, I'd like to know, is she going to be having dinner again with Vladimir Putin, her puppet master?
I don't know. Is Trump? you make a valid point. You know, there are political opportunists in this world, and I certainly believe there can be those that are ideologically driven, but I'm not clear that Jill Stein is one of them. I'm much less impressed by her than
as in Russian driven, if you ask me.
Who is Tulsi Gabbard? At least she's not Tulsi Gabbard, right? She was a little too transparently in Putin's pocket.
Yeah, all these people who are trying to take Biden down, it's interesting how when you follow the money, it ends up back in Moscow somehow, always, it seems like.
Appreciate your call, Jake. You're our last word today. Except, stick around because the Maggie Dawn Show is next. You're going to want to hear that. And then Raised in the Wisco with our pal Joel Clayfish. Dom, tomorrow I'm hitting the road. I'm chasing Brian Stahl, Congressman, and Rojo, Carnival Barker. They're doing a little presser in the first CD. I'm going to go chase them. I'll meet you in the Waukesha studios and on the radio, of course. Thanks.
Bring your ivermectin, Crudy. You'll get front row, baby.
I'm bringing all the drugs. I'm trying them all.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It's the final game of the regular season, and Carroll University football is traveling to St. Louis to take on Washington University this Saturday, November 11th. The Veterans Day matchup with the Pios visiting the Bears, a team holding 19 conference titles and 45 All-Americans. Don and Johnny will have all the action live, pregame at 11:30, kickoff at noon. The final game of the regular season this Saturday on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hi, this is...